Everybody good this morning?
Yes, sir.
Good to see you this morning. It really is. Let's get a Lord a hand clap of praise. You know what we're talking about. We had a real good week this week. Even if it was bad, we still here. We still here. I'm looking at Marissa on the front. Marissa owed me money, so y'all see Marissa. That's what we're doing. But anyway, man, I'm going to tell y'all this. Now, Janice's birthday is the 10th of October. You don't know.
That's right.
Okay. And Janice got a motorcycle.
All right.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So y'all talk
to Janice. Y'all ready to get some money for her birthday. Okay. Janice got some things she wants. But anyway, it's an honor and a pleasure to be standing in front of you this morning. But right now, let's get to service. You know why we came out here, and you know why we came out here to pray. So let's stand to our feet and use the proclamation.
Talk.
Everybody got quiet when she said something. Stop. Gospel proclamation. Read it together. Jesus the King.
Jesus is the King who pre-existed as God the Son, was sent by the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as final judge to rule.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, well.
Okay, now we're moving on to our responsive reading.
Yes, we are.
The responsive reading is found in Psalms 103, the New Living Translation, and it reads as follows. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that was in you, that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities.
For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him.
For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more.
But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to God, to his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in heavens, and his kingdom rules over all together.
Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers, who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Amen.
Lord God our Father, first of all, we thank you.
Amen.
We came out here today to praise you, to worship, and to thank you for bringing us from where we were at the beginning of this week, last Sunday, to where we are now. And more than that, Lord, we just ask that you, what we bring up to you is a sweet smell to your nostrils.
Okay.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. The psalmist said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name, because he has done great things. Amen.
Yeah.
So we're here today to do what?
Praise
to bless the Lord, and we bless him by praising.
Yeah.
Because he is the one from whom all blessings come.
Everybody. There's a song missing. Okay. All right, y'all, just by way of a couple of announcements. Sunday school for the adults. Yes, I know. Thank you. Sunday school for the adults is upstairs beginning at 9 a.m. The children's church begins downstairs at 10 a.m. Every Sunday, don't forget that at 4 o'clock, our very own Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is on Blog Talk Radio with her show entitled Bring Back the Family, speaking about youth and our responsibilities to our children. So please make sure to tune in and give her your support again every Sunday at 4 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. We are in our third, maybe fourth, church history class. It begins every Monday at 6 p.m. It is somewhat of an advanced teaching because we're talking about Christian history. So there's a lot of dates, a lot of names, a lot of places, a lot of things. So it's a lot. But nevertheless, church history class is on Mondays at 6 p.m. The teacher is Pastor O. You do need a textbook for the class. We're actually finally getting into the textbook. We had last couple of weeks of introduction and worksheets. So the textbook that you need is entitled The Church That Jesus Christ Built. And it is a book by Pastor O. So if you want to participate in the class, you need a book. So go to Pastor O's website, pastorgmo.com, or you can see Sister Sheila here at church, and she'll make sure that you get a book to participate. Amen. If for whatever reason you can't attend The live classes, all of our classes are recorded and are posted on our church website weekly. www.rfcm.org is our church website. Just go to the Bible classes link and then click on the history of the Christian church recorded at a time that's more convenient for you, and you'll be able to hear the class that was live on Blog Talk. Every Wednesday at 6 o'clock, we have our Bible reading class. Also on Blog Talk Radio, if you're on Pastor's email list, you will get the questions emailed to you every week. If not, you can go to our church website, excuse me, rfcm.org, and click on Bible classes, and you can get the questions there. Or if you're here on Sundays, just go to the back table, and the questions are also back there. Also, do not forget, Saturdays at 11:30 a.m., Bondage Breaker Ministries holds a women's Bible class. So for more information to participate, please make sure to reach out to Pastor Janice Tate. I know the class is in person live, and it's also a call-in class, so there's multiple ways to participate. So if you want to do that, please make sure to reach out to Pastor Janice Tate. If you want to pay your tithes or give any offerings, again, the church website, rfcm.org, is where you will go to do that. Just click on the tithes and offerings tab. And so we just want to say in advance that the Lord Jesus bless you for your kindness in sharing with us and everyone else that we are unable to help through your consistent and generous giving. Don't forget to check out our church website. Pastor puts a lot of work into it, and it has truly come a super, super, super long way. I mean, we got stuff you can click on, from getting saved to taking classes to needing resources and help. There's so much on there. There's jobs on there. There's resources on there. So bless yourself on purpose. Amen. By going to the church website. And even if it's not information that you feel like you may need for yourself, share it with someone else. And if you don't want to share the information, at least just share the website and let people go and bless themselves on purpose. Amen. We always want to shout out our mothers here at Running for Christ Ministries. Mother Irma, praise God, is here now. Amen. Mother Cheryl, we know that she is caregiving and caretaking, and we pray that she's taking care of herself, and sometimes that's hard to do when you are caring for others. Mother Marilyn, praise God, is here today. Mother Persia, praise God, is here today. So we're so thankful always to see them. We always got at least one hold it down for all of them. So just want to keep them lifted in prayer, as well as all the Run for Christ Ministry members. A prayer list will be forthcoming on the projector during altar call. Amen?
Amen.
So birthdays this month. Pastor Terrence Tate will be celebrating his birthday on the 9th.
All right.
Amen. Pastor Janice Tate will be celebrating her birthday on the 10th. Quinaya will be celebrating her birthday on the 15th. That's Lorenzo's mom. And Deaconess Loretta will be also celebrating her birthday on the 15th of this month. That's Jedediah, right? His birthday's on the 16th?
All right.
Okay, so he's going to be one on the 16th. So I'm going to make sure we're going to shout him out, even though he won't know for a couple of years. Amen. So if you want your name on the birthday list, let Sheila or I know if you want your recognition. Amen. So now Deaconess Demetrius is going to come, and she's going to give resources about resources. Amen.
Morning.
Morning.
Real quick. I'm going to send it over to Pastor today. So Frito-Lay will be having a hiring event, and this is on Michigan Worksite. It's going to be Thursday, October 20th at 9 a.m. It's going to be in Southgate. So I'm going to post the information. I'll send it over. And then another one is Manpower is also going to be having a job fair this Wednesday October the 5th at 10 a.m. And I'll send that information over from 10 to 3. And the last one is General Motors is having an open house Wednesday, October 5th and Wednesday, October 12th. They're both running from 8 to 2. I will post the information on there about that. And then also just a reminder that DAPSAT has started, but if the classes aren't full, they are still taking kids. Remember, that's K through 12. And look at their site, because they do so much. They just have the Wade McCree Scholarship, and that's where, like, they award that scholarship, and that's to people that's going to attend a school in the state of Michigan, and it's a full ride. So they do so much. Not for you yet. Not a full ride yet. So it's that time of year, if you know, sophomores and juniors and seniors, this is the time of year to be looking into the scholarships. Scholarships are become available in the fall, and the deadlines are usually like January. So if you know somebody, once again, me and June have offered to assist if you need assistance with applying for the scholarships, or if you need help finding scholarships, just reach out and let us know. Thank you.
As our deacons prepare to come around and collect your offering, remember this is part of your worship as you're standing to your feet. If you need an envelope, see somebody in the back and they'll get you one. We're continuing.
old friend. I know he wish we. I wish I had the energy that this little one right here was. Cause she was getting it in. Cause she knows this friend. And even if she don't know the friend, she knows that something special brings all of us together on a day like today, which is beautiful. But we could have chose to just take her in Bedside Baptist and pray a little Presbyterian. But instead, we came together because of Jesus. The one who does know all about our struggles. It's time for altar call. You can stand or you can sit, but you get to participate. The word of God says that we get to come boldly to the throne of grace, where we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need because of our friend Jesus. The one who, because of his death, the veil was rent in two, and who is now seated on the throne in the most holy place, interceding for us. Because he knows all about our struggles. He's the one who told Ian and Fiona to go, and he also told them when to cease. He's the one when the earth rocked in Mexico and in other places, and the waters flooded in Canada and Alaska, he told them how far to go and when to stop. He's the one who knows each one of us by name. The word says he bears our names on his forearms. So you know how many billion people are on earth right now? And then how many know him out of that? So it's like Jesus has like this progressive tattoo that every time you look at it, Eric, Crystal, Reese, Nicole, and he knows about who we're praying for special today, Tyrone and Cheryl Hamilton. Each week I'm going to try to get a name, somebody else's name up there. So we remember that at least one Sunday you're being prayed for. Of course, Pastor John McFall and Deaconess Nicole Gaston. And please, 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 y'all, pray for our federal, state, and local governments now and the ones coming. We have got to vote. There are some people who are running for office who are not quite right. Our nation, we know that things won't get right till Jesus comes. But while we are here, we have the power to help make things right. And our vote is one of the ways we do it. So participate. Don't sit it out. Even if you don't know, ask somebody. We need to vote in this and every election because we represent our friend. But now we're going to represent our friend at the throne in prayer. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for today, because today would not be if you not had said in the beginning, let there be. We thank you that each one of us made it to today. And Lord, for those that didn't make it to today, but they knew you, we thank you because the victory they are celebrating this day because of Jesus. It's only because of him we're here. It's only because of him we can come. And we can offer up prayers for those who are suffering with the conditions of this world, the just and the unjust. Those who are dealing with the greed and the power of those who want more but give less. We pray for those who are in Ukraine and in other places where war is raging around them. But we know that one day the righteous king will come and he will set all things right and there will be no more war. We live for that day. We look to that day. Some of us sometimes give up thinking about that day, but we know that is our hope, that there is a determined end to all this when Jesus comes back and he sets up his kingdom. And he restores all things to the way they were. We thank you, Jesus, because you haven't given up. We thank you, Jesus, because you're still working on each one of us right now. You're still working in our behalf. And we're here today presenting ourselves hungry and thirsty for your word. We want to hear from you today. We want to hear individually as well as collectively from you here today. So speak through your servant, Lord. Give him the words that you have for us today, and let him speak your words clearly to us today so that we can get what we came for. We thank you for this community of believers, other people who believe what we believe. In a world where it seems like everybody believes any and everything, we know one thing, that Jesus is Lord. He is the Christ. He did come. He did die. He did give himself as that one-time perfect sacrifice so that we could all be restored back to right. We thank you because when we were lost, he sought us. He found us and he drew us. And for any today that are sitting here, Lord, that don't really know you that way, draw them. Keep after them so that they come to you through Jesus. We praise you. We love you. We honor and thank you, for it is in his name alone we pray. All God's people say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Y'all can stand back up. Got y'all break in. See, we don't pray out of just hollow activity in faith. To the one who truly does have everything in control. He does have everything in control. It may look like it's not in control, but it is. He holds our world, and we know the favorite part of this song we like, he won't let go.
Take my heart, Lord, will you take?
Did you all go there?
Amen.
Yes, yes.
Thank you, praise and worship team. I know you guys went there and certainly took me with you. You know, the thing that I just kept thinking about when that song was being sung and we were pouring out our hearts is just how much we can trust God.
Yes.
It's like no matter what's going on, you know, he won't let go of us. He sees our struggles and he's right there. And so the question is just whether we're going to believe what the world says or we're going to believe what Satan says and look at our circumstances, or are we just going to remember that he's God and he won't let go of us. And no matter where we are, no matter what we're going through, he's right there with us, right? Thank you, Lord. All right. You know, because he could have just saved us and just like, okay, you guys are good. But he didn't do that. He didn't leave us. Okay, Pastor O's the preacher around here. So he is going to continue on in his preaching on the Apostle Paul. He's asked me to once again read the same scripture I read last week, which was 2 Timothy 4, chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. And I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation, and it is written, "As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing." This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great word. So just like when I read this last week, I am struck by the fight and the victory. Last week, Pastor O provided us some highlights of Paul's journey. A quote from Pastor O's sermon that I think is a good takeaway is that everything is poised for us to find God. May you see God in this morning in his preaching. So it's been a while since I raised the scripture that led me to the phrase that we're about to say when we invite Pastor Owa. So for newcomers and those of you who've been around a while, you know it comes from Acts chapter 8. And in Acts chapter 8, there's an exchange between Philip the apostle and the Ethiopian. In fact, the Lord sent him there, and as a result, what ended up happening was the Ethiopian was reading from the book of Isaiah, and Philip came upon him and asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone instructs me or explains it?" So that's where we find ourselves this morning, with someone who's willing to break it down for us and tell us what it means, right? Are you guys excited?
Yeah.
Now, Kathy said we should make a noise when we invite Pastor up. Come on, make that noise. Okay. On that note, repeat this after me. Pastor O. Break it down for us.
I took family back there talking about, I'm like, come on, that was Alice. Don't even blame me for that. That was Alice with her party people. Party people. Amen. Amen. Ooh, I'm telling you, this is running for Christ, right? You talking that dude. You said when you came in, you said you and Reese, y'all look like y'all set that up. Y'all look like y'all set that up. Alice, you know, you done started something. Oh, I'm going to have to stop, Cliff. Yeah, I know. I'll be ready in a day or two. Give me a week. I'll be good in 2 weeks. Next year, Lolo, I'll be hooked up. And in 5 years, it's going to be 5 years. That's all I need is about 10, 20, and I'll be good. Whew. Amen. Amen. How y'all doing this morning? Amen. Everybody good? Y'all ready? Okay, then give me a sermon. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today. Yes, we do. We thank you, Father, because you got us from last week to this week, and a whole lot of stuff happened. We went up and down some hills. Some hills, Jesus, was kind of hard to climb, but we got up there. And then, Lord, we found ourselves sliding down into a low, lonely valley. And when we got down there, it was like, hey, how you doing? We thank you, Jesus, that you were there to meet us and then bring us back up on the mountain to this place. And we thank you, Lord. Like Peter said on the Mount of Transfiguration, it is good for us to be here. So we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless them ears.
Lord, bless them ears.
So they hear your word today.
So they hear your word today.
And Lord, bless my heart.
Lord, bless my heart.
So it receives your word today.
So it receives your word.
Because I acknowledge to you. My ways and thoughts,
my ways and thoughts
not like yours.
Not like yours.
But I'm here today, to be transformed,
to be made new,
so I can always know
what
your good, pleasing,
and perfect will
is for my life. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Ain't that good, Mary? We don't have to know God's will for, I don't have to know God's will for your life. I have to know it for my life. Amen. Because we're all different. Amen. We're all different. Amen. Well, I begun what was going to be a single sermon, and then June turned it into a series. Amen. She's like, I didn't have nothing to do with that. I was like, amen. But we're talking about two of the most instrumental men, I guess you could say it like that, in the Bible, in the New Testament. These two men single-handedly took the word of God from Jerusalem to Judea and to Samaria. And then God went and found a real man who was like an enforcer. He was, you know, Paul, the crazy man. He was around killing Christians and locking them up in jail. And then Jesus said, the Christians was like Ananias. Y'all remember we talked about him, right? Ananias was like, Lord, we have heard about this man and how much he have done to your people in Jerusalem. And now he's come here to do the same thing. Amen. But the Lord said he on team now. So it's not always God's will to destroy somebody who evil crazy. Amen. You pray for evil crazy people. You don't pray God destroy evil crazy people or do bad things to them, because the Lord don't think like that. Amen. So Peter, we talked about him. He take up the whole first 12 chapters of the book of Acts. He is responsible for taking the word of God to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. And all those folks came to his side, and they spread out everywhere after the persecution of Stephen. And they took the word of God wherever they ran to. They took the word of God with them and ran there and told people about Jesus. They didn't get so scared that they shut up talking about Jesus. Sometimes when we go to work, we get scared. And we go through a whole 8, 10, 12 hours, don't say nothing about Jesus. We can even do 16 hours, don't say nothing about Jesus. Amen. I used to put in 65 hours a week at the job I had before I left there and started my own business, but everybody knew what was up. Yeah, that one. I ain't gonna talk about the 37 I got fired from. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Bring Jesus up. Bring Jesus up. Don't be afraid to bring Jesus up. One of the things that you find different about the church, the people of the way, or Christians, the word, Greek word is what? Christianos. And what does it mean? Partisan for Christ, follower of Christ. The Jews, unbelieving Jews, called them people of the way, the sect of the Nazarene. The Greeks used their own word to describe them. And they used the word Christian. Why? Because they were followers of Christ. Today, could we actually be found by people who are not saved? People who don't belong to Jesus, would they look at you and how you conduct your life and say they're followers of Christ? They talk like, act like, them just like Jesus. Every time they open their mouth, I hear Jesus. That's the goal. Because, see, the Christians in that day didn't tell folks, I'm a Christian. They didn't even have that name yet. Jesus didn't call them Christians. Jesus didn't call them people of the way. People outside trying to describe them did that. When you look at 1 Thessalonians verses chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, it says, seek to lead, Christian, a quiet life. Here's one we really struggle with. Mind your own business. Here's another one we struggle with. Work with your own hands. Then you'll get the respect of those who are on the outside. Those who don't go to church every Sunday or even CME Christians. Christians, Mother's Day and Easter. They on, amen. Folks on the outside. Hey, you just... Your light come on real slow. he'd be at the comedy show, and he won't start laughing until it's over. He's walking out. He's, oh, wow. This. And he won't even start laughing until the show. It says, then you'll get the respect of those who are on the outside. And guess what? You didn't even say a word. Why? Because you lived a quiet life, not a boisterous life. Amen. You mind your own business. They was like, they don't ever try to get in nobody else. And when I try to bring up other people's business, they don't even want to talk about it. They work with their own hands to provide for themselves, right? Yes. Right? 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, when we were with you, we told you that those who do not work should not what?
Eat.
Amen. I think that's plain, ain't it?
Amen.
So if you're wondering if Jesus wants you to work or not, if you want to eat, probably won't work. Amen. And then he says, you won't be dependent on anybody.
Right.
See, Jeffrey, when I read God's word, I say, Lord, I'm claiming this. You said quiet life, mind your own business. I'm working on that. And work with your own hands. I work, but I keep getting fired, but I'm working, right? Amen. And it works. It works. My wife and I have this boast that the Lord gave us. Amen. Since we've been married, and I told y'all this before, we've been married now 36 years. We haven't had to ask one person outside of us for a dime to pay a bill. Other than banks. Yeah, we got to be friends with some banks and some credit cards. Amen. Well, that was my first $80,000 debt. You know, I made a few mistakes. Then my next one was better. It was only $70,000. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, $150,000. There you go. Run it up, run it down. Amen. But that's what God wants. Amen. And so Paul and Peter and the rest of the Christians in that day were having trouble. Why? Because in the beginning, people recognized them as being a part of Judaism. That's just like a subsidiary of Ford Motor Company. Amen? But then, after a while, they began to see that there were some differences. And they no longer looked at them as if they were one of us. They're somebody else, something else. They're a sect of the Nazarene. And so persecution started. That's how we do when we want people to stop doing something. We persecute. Amen? So persecution started. When we become uncomfortable with the way somebody else is doing something, we persecute them. One man tried to help him. He was a great Jewish teacher. His name was Gamaliel. Amen.
Okay.
And Gamaliel said that there were two people who rose up before and drew off people after them, but because God didn't call it, it fell apart.
Okay.
They died and their followers were scattered. Amen. But they're not taking that approach. He advised them to leave these people alone. If what they're doing is not of God, it will fail. So what does that tell you? What does that tell me? What does that tell us? If what we're doing is not of God, it will what?
Fail.
Amen. That's all you're doing, spinning your wheels. You might as well go get in the mud or some deep snow and just sit there spinning your wheels. Blow out your transmission from overheating. Amen. So Paul begins the second leg of what Peter talked about. Jesus told him, right? Start in Jerusalem. Amen? That's right where you live. It's the people around you, closest people around you. Start there. Then go to your neighborhood, to your county, to your city, your county, your state. That's Judea, right? That's where we all live. Then go to Samaria. Around them people in places that we think we too holy to go. Around them people we feel like are beneath us. Amen?
Okay.
I don't want to name no cities because I'll get emails. Like Dale Ray. They'll send me an email. Go to Dale Ray. Tell somebody about Jesus. Go on the east side where they got to do what they got to do and tell somebody about Jesus. You know, we could stop this garbage going on in our cities. If we would, when the church, Jesus says, when my people called by my name would turn from their crapped out ways, seek my face, repent, then I'll hear. He never once said, if the world have a day of prayer and they all talk to me, all mixed up together, things that don't even go together, amen, how can two walk together unless they what? Agree. Amen. He said, but when my people called by my name, so when we pray, if you want this world to change, guess who's going to change it? World changes. And who are world changers, Christians? Who changed the world at Paul and Peter? Who changed Jerusalem? Christians. Who changed Judea? Christians. Who changed Samaria? Christians. And now we're talking about a man named Paul who has gone out to what they called at that time the uttermost parts of the earth. That meant all of Rome. Rome's entire empire had to hear about Jesus. And so Paul started that journey. We talked about that last week in chapter 13 of the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit said, now see, you don't want to start nothing until you hear God say. The Holy Spirit said, now set apart for me. Amen. Paul and Silas, Barnabas at this time, for the work that I have called them to. Amen. You don't want to start doing nothing in the church unless the Lord tell you to do. Because all you're going to do is run straight into the devil. He's going to come up against you like the seven sons of Sceva, and you ain't really hooked up with Jesus. So he's going to scare the crap out of you. You out. He's going to do something to make you lose it. You remember Peter in the garden? Jesus said, all y'all are going to run off from me. Peter said, if all these... Looking at his boys, and I know they was like, dude, really? If all these run off, I'm ride or die, Jesus. I'm with you. Jesus looked at Peter and said, before the night over, you're going to forget my name three times. Hey, man, that's real bad, ain't it? But Peter was claiming something that he ain't had the power for. I'm glad to die, Jesus. Jesus said, you're going to deny me. He said, no. And then the rest of them like, I don't care what Peter said. We ain't denying you either. Jesus get arrested. Peter pull all his knife and try to cut somebody's ear off. Cut somebody's ear off. Jesus had to heal him and say, see, here you go with your stuff. Here you go. Trying to do Jesus without Jesus telling you to do Jesus, right? That's why you're out here cutting people's ears off. You James and John all in one. Sons of Thunder. They preached a sermon one time, torn, and the people wasn't listening right. You know what James and John said? Jesus, you want us to call down fire from heaven and consume them? Amen. We talked about last week the whole church would be consumed, right? So now the word of God is about to go to the whole world. So Paul and Barnabas and some of the other apostles who were there, some of the other Christians, the Holy Spirit says, see, that's the kind of relationship you want with God. When he called you out, you can hear his voice and know he's calling you.
Okay.
Do you know how many Christians don't know Jesus' voice? Jesus said in John chapter 10, My sheep know my voice. And another, they won't follow. When they hear my voice and I call them out, they follow me. Why? Because they know my voice.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
So that is something that you want to do. You want to develop such a tight, close-knit relationship with Jesus that when he talks, you hear.
Okay.
Because there's four voices that we have to deal with, right? We have to deal with the world's voice. When in the world do the way the world do it, right? We have to listen to the devil's voice, right? Because he always, like Adam and Eve, you know, did God say y'all couldn't eat from this tree? I don't know why y'all standing right here by this tree, but let's talk about it. Amen. So you're going to hear his voice all the time. You can tell the devil, he's real easy. It's the world is kind of tricky. But the devil is real easy. Keely, you know how you tell it's the devil? All you have to do is know what God said. He'll be completely opposite. Cliff, he'll be completely opposite. The Lord said, thou shalt not eat from this tree. The day that thou eatest thereof, from the King James Version, thou shalt surely die, right? So what did the devil say when he showed up? Thou shalt not surely die. Really? Now I have to entertain that God's a liar and got ulterior motives. So be sure that the Holy Spirit has called you to do what you're doing for Jesus.
Okay.
Because the devil, what? We wrestle not against what? But against what? Spiritual wickedness in high places. And the devil ain't no joke. He flipped Adam and Eve in no time. And don't think you any tougher, like Peter. I'm ride or die. And then Jesus put you in a situation where you got to ride or die, Alex. And what's going to happen? Amen. But here's the good news. We don't get punished by the Lord. We get disciplined. Hebrews chapter 13 tells us God disciplines those whom he loves. And it goes as far as to say, and if you're not disciplined, then you probably don't belong to him. Because God ain't no deadbeat dad. He ain't going to say yes to make you happy. He going to say yes because you did. The term is amen. Amen. You did? I hear you, Jesus. I hear you, Jesus. Amen. So Paul and Silas start out on a 3-year trek. 1,400 miles, 3 years. They went to Pisidian Antioch, and the devil raised up some people to be against them. And so they started persecuting them. And so they left there and went to the cities, the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe. And there they began to preach to the Lycaonians, and Paul saw a man, I told you about him last week, who had never walked. And Paul also saw that the man had faith to be healed. And so Paul said, hey, get up. And my man got up. And see, miracles make people go crazy. They started thinking funny things about you. Because see, when the miracle happened, the people suddenly became believers, but not believers in the true and living God or Jesus Christ. They called Paul Hermes because he was the chief speaker, and they called Barnabas Zeus. So it was just a continuation of their paganism, and they weren't giving credit to the true and living God. So Paul and them preached a sermon to try to straighten them out so they wouldn't start believing in that stuff. Change the way they believe. And then some of them folks from Pisidian Antioch showed up and made them mad. Turned the people against Paul and Barnabas, and they stoned him. Left him for dead. Amen. See, Paul didn't get stoned out like Stephen, but Paul was there holding the coats of them who stoned Stephen. You reap what you sow, so watch out what you sow. See, every day we wake up and God give us a handful of seeds. You better be careful with them seeds you planting because they're going to grow up. Because see, we plant seeds and we put water on seeds, but God gives increase. And sometimes that increase might not be something you want. For you as a Christian, it'll work out as discipline. So God can help you become who you really are in Christ Jesus. But watch what kind of seeds you're sowing, because those plants grow up. You go out in your yard, every grass, if you want some bluegrass seed, guess what? 10% of that is bluegrass seed. 90% is what they call inert matter. Or a crop seed. You know what crop seed is? Weeds. Remember the parable Jesus told about the wheat and the tares? A man went out to sow some seeds. To make seeds grow, they need an environment that's conducive to them growing. And so they put inert matter in there. And they put crop seed in there to form a bed for the grass to come up in, especially if it's bluegrass. But then you got to deal with the weeds. And if you're not especially able by God, like the angels, then you end up killing the grass trying to kill the weeds. So you need to know what you're doing. Amen. Amen. So those folks left Paul for dead. But his friends came to his aid, and he got up and went right back into the city. Amen? Ain't that something? So he left there and went back into the city, and they continued to preach all throughout that first missionary journey. Then it came to an end. They're back in Antioch now. But there's another problem. There's some Jews who have joined the church, but they ain't all in. They done come in with their old friend Judaism. And they're saying to the people that Paul just spent 3 years, have you ever worked on somebody trying to bring them to Jesus? And then here come Happy Black. Amen. That's the sister you didn't meet, Sister Blapperslap. That's his sister, amen. I use them names because I don't want to get no email saying, why are you talking about me in your sermon? Amen. So Happy Black and them showed up and they said, hey, unless you become circumcised, you cannot be saved.
Right, right.
And Paul is like, seriously, I just spent 3 years walking 1,400 miles, and here you is talking about all my work was in vain. Let me tell y'all something about Paul. When you read about him closely and carefully, you'll see he had a temper problem. Excuse me. Paul would get mad. He'll beat you up. Yeah, one man tried to slap him. We'll see next week, if Lord willing, we'll be back here next week. Some man tried to slap Paul. He walked right up to him and said, you revile the high priest like that, he's going to slap Paul. Grab my man's hand and threw it back 10 miles, Curtis. He said, man, I'll tear your arm off. You ain't slapping me, you whitewashed wall. That's what he called him. Another one, whitewashed wall. How many of y'all remember Tom Sawyer? How many of y'all remember the whitewash? It wasn't real paint. It was paint mixed with water. Didn't work real well. So Paul was calling this man fake. You fake. I'm like, dude, calm down. And then they said, you revile the high priest like that, Paul gonna step back. Oh, Paul was deep. He gonna step back and say, oh, I didn't know he was the high priest. Really? He's sitting up there looking like the Pope and you didn't recognize no difference. He got the biggest hat on, got the cleanest robe on, but you didn't know who he was. And you're a Pharisee. You know the high priest. You was on the Sanhedrin yourself. You was all tied up in there. But now all of a sudden you don't even remember. Paul was something else. He had something else that he used too. And that's his Roman citizenship. And he's going to use it 2 times to his benefit. But he ain't going to tell nobody until he have to use it. So Paul ready to go to town with him. They're like, Paul, man, be cool, man. Be cool. Okay, let's go on down to Jerusalem. Jesus' brother, he run the Jerusalem church. Okay, first bishop on earth, right? First pastor on earth of a church, right? That we know of. He was the first one, that church in Jerusalem. Preached one sermon, got 3,000 members. I must not be preaching right. Charlie preached one time, got 3,000 members. I've been preaching since 03, ain't got members. It's praise the Lord. Something wrong. Somebody stole my holiness. What you do with my holiness? You done took my holiness. Longer. Hey, man. So they go to Jerusalem, right? And in Acts chapter 15, you see the first apostolic council. And what was it all about? How do we become Christians? Do we have to go to church every Sunday? Do we have to pay tithes and offerings? Do we have to do Bible study continuously like we do here? Do we have to, hey man, there's so many Bible classes, I don't know what's coming to go. Hey man, what do we have to do to be Christians? How are we made right with God is the question. A lot of people believe the Jews and the Gentiles, or the Jews and the Christians were at each other's throats because they felt like, I believe in Jesus, you don't. That is not what this argument was about. The Jews held on to the laws. These are your Hebraic Jews, your nationalistic Jews, right? And so they held on to the law. And they felt like, we can't let this go, but we can add this to it. But Jesus is like, I'm the end of the law. Okay? And the beginning of God's new covenant with you. So there are no rules, regulations, and bylaws that you need to keep to be made right with me. You simply need to do what John 3:16 says. God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten son that whosoever does what? Believes. Because if God asked us to go to church every Sunday, how many of us be saved? I know I wouldn't, because I had to join the same church 6 times. So I know I'm out. If God told us we had to go to Bible study every week after we get saved, how many of us be saved? If God told us we have to pray for all our enemies, and we know they're our enemies, how many of us be saved? So he couldn't put no stipulations on it. Raise your hand if you asked to come into this world. Amen. So why would God make it impossible for you to be saved? No. So this is what the whole argument is about. The whole argument is about, how are we made right with God? Peter becomes a hero. He shows up again. And this will be his last appearance in the Bible, in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 15. He shows up again, becomes the champion for Paul's cause. Peter tells him about what? When he went down to Cornelius' house in Acts chapter 10. And they was down there with the pig feet and the barbecue. They was even eating bologna. Amen. And hot dogs. Amen. Praise. You don't like hot dogs, do you? You was good until I said hot dogs, right? So they was mad. And Peter had to actually, in Acts chapter 11, Mary, he had to explain himself. They said, dude, you need to explain yourself. We heard about you. Look at you. Got pig feet juice still on your stuff. You know? Your hands got that forever barbecue smell. You smell like barbecue. Amen. So Peter, he had to explain himself. I don't know. I tell you, I'm praying on it. He had to explain himself. So Peter stands up and becomes the champion of the meeting. And he says, I went down to Cornelius' house, and Cliff, he said, I was preaching my sermon. I was like, and I ain't even get to my clothes, and the Holy Ghost fell on everybody. I said, hold up, Jesus, I ain't even took up an offering yet. Amen. But that's how it happened. I guess Peter was preaching too long, and Jesus was like, I ain't waiting on this. Soon he gave everybody the Holy Spirit. So I just went preaching too long. I'm going to break this up. Everybody saved in here. So Peter tells them, seeing that God gave them the Holy Spirit just like he did us, how could I refuse to water baptize them? Okay, and then Paul and Barnabas stands up and they start telling about how God did miracles among the Gentiles. Okay, and God was revealing himself to them and people were getting saved all over the place. And so Jesus' brother, James, they call him James the Just because of his strict adherence to Judaism. But he's a Christian. And so James, he's still kind of stuck in it though. But James says, hey, this agrees with the word of God. that God will take for himself a remnant of people from the Gentiles. So this is all in the Bible. So he gave them a couple of rules because Gentiles had some crazy behavior, Carmen. They would drink blood. I can't serve no God to tell me to drink blood. I'd be like, dude, what is this? The Church of the Vampires? I'm not trying to, no, I ain't trying to be no trilogy. I'm nothing. So, no, I'm not drinking no blood. And I'm not eating no Darius, I ain't eating no roadkill. Hey, man, he said, stay away from strangled animals. I'm like, hey, I'm not eating no roadkill. Now, you can tear the head off a chicken, take the feathers off, fry it up, I eat it, but hey, don't bring it to me raw, Cliff. Don't bring me no raw chicken. And no, do not order my food medium rare. This lady used to come. I used to work at McDonald's when they first opened it up on Jefferson. I lasted 2 weeks. They told me to do some work. I left. Anyway, there was this lady who used to come every Sunday, and I imagine it was after church, and she would say, just take her meat and thaw it out on the grill and then put it on there. I used to want to leave out from behind Carmen and go over there and watch her eat it and say, oh, hey man, you're a carnivore. I think you're a holdover from the cave people days. You got froze somewhere and just woke up. Now you're trying to eat raw meat. We cook things today. Amen. So now the meeting is solved. And let me tell you something. That meeting was of immense importance because if they had got it wrong, then we cannot be saved. Because simple faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is what gets us saved. Anything added to that excludes us. You do not have to speak in tongues to give evidence of your salvation. 3,000 people got saved when Peter talked. How many of them spoke in tongues? Not one. But when you read through the Bible, there are those who, when Paul saw them, they received the Holy Spirit and gave evidence. Peter saw it in Samaria. Paul saw it with those folks in Ephesus who Apollo had preached John's baptism to. Okay? But it's not something everybody's going to do. Raise your hand if you speak in tongues. I think I speak in tongues. Half a blap, slap, slap. I'm going to find me somebody who can interpret tongues, find out what I just said. Do you know when you hear people doing that in their sermons? Getting ready to sing a song, they're all... When they do that, they may be speaking in tongues, but we don't know. Why? Because the Bible tells you in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that if you're going to do that, make sure you got an interpreter there. And if you don't have no interpreter there, you and Jesus have slap a blap. You know, you and Jesus going and do that. Because I don't know what you said. I might sock you. You called me a name. I don't know what you said. I don't speak tongues. Amen. So there are no prerequisites for being saved. All you have to do is believe. Now, Minister Latrice Jackson did preach this when we was at the hall. She said salvation is free, but every step after that going to cost you. Amen. It costs to walk with Jesus. Imagine being his disciples and what they used to do every day. And now they're walking with Jesus. And then they figure out he can even read your thoughts. And they back there, Jesus told them, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and die. They back there like, who's going to take over when he leaves? Jesus said, what was y'all talking about when we was coming down the road? They was like, oh, dude, who snitched? Who told? See, Peter, you're always running your mouth. You don't never know when to shut up. Amen. But that let them know he know your thoughts. Amen. So they begin the second missionary journey after this big meeting. Amen. The first place they go to on the second missionary journey is all the churches he had already planted in Asia Minor, modern day Turkey. The Galatian cities. Amen. All those churches in Galatia. And then he doesn't know where to go. And so he tries to go to Mysia. But the Holy Spirit said, no, don't go there. Then he wanted to go to Bethania. The Holy Spirit said, no, don't go there. And so he went down to Troas to a friend's house. And they stayed there. And he went to sleep. And in the middle of the night, he had a vision of a man standing over in Macedonia, modern day Greece. And he said, come over here and help us. And so Paul concluded, the Lord wants us to go to Greece. Now, he's been dealing with people who are called God-fearers, people who are like Judaism, practice some of it, but haven't been circumcised. And he's been preaching the proselytes to Judaism, people who weren't Jews, but loved the religion and took the prerequisite rite of circumcision and became a Jew. But when they tried to kill him and kept trying to kill him, he turns straight to straight up Gentiles. They're not God-fearers, and they're not proselytes to Judaism. And that was his crowd, and he did well. But now, he's about to cross the Adriatic. He's about to go over into Greece. And these, you know Greece, right? You remember the Spartans? You remember all of the 300? You remember all them little Greek city-states that was all split up? Well, a man named Philip of Macedon, the father of Alexander the Great, he brought all those little cities together. Guess why? Because Esther's husband. Remember Esther? It was her husband they were fighting with. Xerxes. Did anybody go see the movie The 300? Okay, now the real Xerxes didn't have that many piercings. Okay? It wasn't like that for real. But these kings were wild. And this was one of the biggest, he had the biggest empire on earth at the time. So Philip of Macedon brings together all these little Greek city-states who usually fight each other rather than having a common cause. But now they have a common cause. It's the Medo-Persians. They have come to get, revenge for what happened to Darius. Amen? What happened to King Darius at Marathon? But that's a whole lot of history. You have to read about that. Right? And so he's come to get revenge for what happened some years ago. And he gets into it with the 300. 300 Spartans, 1,700 hoplite Greek soldiers. Okay? And you all know how that battle went, right? They beat them at the Thermopylae Pass, but that was a battle. When Philip of Macedon pulled all them Greek city-states together, and now you have a whole country full of Spartans, well, they beat back the Medo-Persians, and they took over. The first city that Paul goes to in this region is called Philippi, and it's named after Philip of Macedon. It is the first colony that he goes to preach to. And we know what happened when Paul hit Philippi. He's going down to the river, him and his entourage, and they're having prayer meetings. This lady who's rich, and she's a Greek, I know she's not a Jew because she owns houses and properties and businesses. If you remember studying the Old Testament, Jewish women couldn't own property. Remember the Zelophehad incident, the daughters of Zelophehad? They didn't have no brothers, there was nobody to take over, it was just them, so they had to marry their cousins. Probably why they were so crazy. Amen? So, this woman's named Lydia. She got her own entourage. Right? She's a seller of purple. She owns a business, a dye business and more, in a city called Thyatira. Okay? And so she see Paul and them down there praying. She hear Paul having that Bible class over there. So she listens. She likes it. She joins the Bible class. Then she becomes a Christian. And she says to Paul, since you believe that I believe in Jesus and that I'm one of you now, come stay at my house. And she persuaded them. Now get this. This lady had a house big enough, amen, for Paul and his entourage to be uncomfortable, and for her and her entourage to be uncomfortable. And get this, this is her house in Philippi. She has another one over in Thyatira. That's that Proverbs 31 woman. Amen. Man, if you got a woman, if you got a wife, you better look inside that wife and see what's in there. Go to Proverbs 31 and read about that virtuous woman, and then start trying to find all that stuff in your wife. When I married Sheila and found out what was in her, why did I turn everything over to her? Because she got skills in those areas. God brought her alongside me to help me pull off what I had to do. Ooh, he that finds a wife finds a good thing, but that's a wife, not a woman.
Come on, Pastor.
Some men find women, and some men find a wife. But if you find your... God, this ain't a Catholic church, man. I used to be going into confession. Amen. Amen. So now they're going to Philippi, and every day that they go down to have a Bible class, okay, I got you, by the river, there's this girl, Reese, and she's a fortune teller for, she's a slave girl, but she's a fortune teller for her masters. Okay, and every day down, going down to the Bible class, here she comes. You know what I'm saying? You ever go to work or somewhere in life and say, oh, here they come. Well, that's the way Paul like, oh, here come your girl. They're like, Paul, your girl is, man. Let's just keep walking. But anyway, she would say, these are the men of God who are showing you the way to be saved. You know, that's the way she did it. They're showing you the way to be saved. Because see, when you read it in the Bible, you think, why did he get mad? She's helping them out. She's his herald. She's heralding for them. No, she was mocking them. They trying to tell you, Jesus will fix it. Jesus got you. Amen. I have to look back at Sharon because Sharon about to shoot up here. I'm going to get over here. Amen. Amen. So one day, as I come to a close for this week, one day, Paul, I told you he had a temper, right? Mm-hmm. You remember Elymas on the first missionary journey who kept getting in the way of him trying to get to his boy Sergius Paulus, and he told Elymas, man, I had enough of you. You're going to be blind for a time. Yep. And he went blind. You know, Jesus liked to knock the sight out of people, right? He did it to Paul himself. Amen. Amen. So Paul turns around to this girl and he talks to the demon inside of her. And he says, why are you always trying to pervert the right ways of God? And so he said, come out of her. And the demon left. Why? Because in the name of Jesus, he cast the demon out. See, demons can't ignore Jesus. They can ignore you. They can ignore me. And what we say. But if we say what Jesus said, it has the authority and the power behind it, just like, oh, it's time to close. Come on. Come on for the close. He got running in his feet. See, I know I'm preaching good. He's the baby. You got running in your feet. You got running in your feet. He closed me out last week. This is a trick. I done figured it out. Y'all send the baby up here to tell me to close. Praise the Lord. Amen. So you, TJ grew up. Since TJ grew up, right? Now, they're the new TJ. Amen. Paul cast the demon out of this girl. Amen. And we'll talk about the rest of it on next week. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Father, for giving us another opportunity to go into your word. We thank you that as Pastor Janice Tate prayed, you came and you showed up. And you helped us to see the Word of God in a different way. You helped us to see how all this began with two men, with Peter and with Paul. But Lord, we can't forget about Mary Magdalene, because the men were all scared, had not in that upper room. They didn't want to make sure nobody stole the furniture. But Mary came and told them that you had got up. And ever since she told them you got up, and then you filled them with the Holy Spirit, and now here we are today. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you help the people to keep this, because you said in your own word that as soon as the seed is sown, the enemy shows up to snatch away what was sown so there's no growth. You also said, Father, that some of the seed might fall on hard ground with very little earth in it. And when persecution comes or trouble comes, it fails because it has shallow roots. And then, Lord, I hope and pray that this seed did not go out among thorns, because you said that the thorns would choke it out. But I pray, Heavenly Father, that this is that seed that hit that soil that produced some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Bless your word, Lord, and I know it will do exactly what you want it to. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. This is unreal. Only in this church this happened. You know, I ain't never been in no church and babies come running down the aisle talking about hallelujah. Yeah, I'll let you have a baby. What's up, Lukey Luke?
It's time for communion.
Okay. Yes, it's my turn.
Does anybody need one of these? A cup? Okay. Harley, get her. Raise your hand if you need one. They'll get you one. Yep, if anybody need one. Mackie got him. He's coming around. Can everybody please stand? I didn't write that down. Thank you. I'm gonna wait for everybody to get situated and we'll get started. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 53, we see a description of why we participate in communion. In Luke chapter 22, verses 19 and 20, Christ further implements the act of remembering his sacrifice after his ascension. When we partake in communion, we are showing humility, gratitude, and respect for God's sovereign plan, Christ's work at Calvary, and the Holy Spirit inclusion in our lives. So as we take and eat, remembering Christ's body and taking drink. Oh, my bad, I'm moving again. Remembering the power in his blood. Continue to reverence the importance of our cornerstone. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
right, we're not done yet. We got to go out on our song. You know, Junior Praise Team is assembled. Kind of energy the Lord wants us to bring. Yes. What they do. Let us receive our benediction. May the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Till we meet again, God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Enjoy the day.
Oh, yeah.